David, years ago, a fellow by the name of Emmanuel Velikovsky wrote a book called Worlds in Collisions, and you got involved somehow. Tell me.
Boy, I sure did, George. I was something of a youngster back then. It was a life-changing experience for me to discover Velikovsky's work and then to actually begin following up. First with Velikovsky himself, I was the founder and publisher of a 10-issue magazine formatted series on Velikovsky that gained a great deal of attention globally. And but more than that, I found myself drawn into following pointers that had been provided by Velikovsky as to what really happened in ancient times. And the more I dug into that, the more convinced I became that Velikovsky had actually diagnosed something very fundamental. No matter that he was wrong on so many particulars, and I think all of us who've really spent decades investigating Velikovsky would be the best critics of this pioneering theorist, because we could see that there were ways in which he was using evidence that won't stand up. But what Velikovsky showed through systematic analysis is that all of the evidence from the ancient cultures speaks for catastrophe in ancient times. It was catastrophe remembered by the early cultures that completely dominated human imagination when the first civilizations arose. And these memories persisted for thousands of years. So what does that mean? Well, it means, for one thing, that there's a story to reconstruct. So the way you use the evidence is very important. I just found that the points of agreement between the different cultures on specific details, those constituted the bedrock of a reconstruction. It didn't look entirely like Velikovsky's scenario, but it became very coherent. Now, the centerpiece of Velikovsky's scenario was the idea that the planet Venus was this spectacular comet roaming the solar system.
Mm-hmm. Captured, so, right?
Yeah, it captured in some sense. I don't think Velikovsky had a clear idea as to how that happened. I mean, he was proposing that it was actually expelled by Jupiter. Now, I don't think anybody can totally exclude that, but from the vantage point on the evidence that I was accumulating, that was not a centerpiece. The comet Venus terrifying the ancient world was a centerpiece, and the reason for that is that every ancient symbol and word for a comet was attached to Venus. There is a story of a great comet that Velikovsky began to unravel, and I just picked up on that along with his pointers back to the planet Saturn, and that gradually enabled me to reconstruct a coherent and highly unified picture of an ancient story of catastrophe. It became for me very testable, George. Once it was clarified, its implications became crystal clear, and it became increasingly easy to determine if cultures around the world would indeed support this particular implication. And eventually that can be taken out to the planetary surfaces, and you can see that the things that are required from this reconstruction, they are found on the planetary surfaces. And what is just shouting to us is that these surfaces were carved from pole to pole by electricity.
And let me ask you, Velikovsky was scorned, though, for his theories at the time, wasn't he, David?
Oh, he was completely dismissed. And that was part of the reason for my interest in Velikovsky, because the one thing that I'd always been interested in before I had any interest in school, even, I mean, in the 7th grade, 8th grade, up into high school, I really had no interest in school, but I was very interested in odd things, the paranormal, the unusual, the idea that people hadn't yet accepted but had promise. There was just something that intuitively intrigued me about that. And the Velikovsky question, because I had read Velikovsky's Worlds in Collision 2 or 3, 4 years before we began publishing that series on Velikovsky, I just found it extremely interesting that a person of his caliber who could gather that level of evidence. I mean, he was a colleague of Albert Einstein's. He was a respected psychoanalyst. He moved in very scholarly circles. But when he published that book, he was finished in terms of his academic and scholarly reputation. The point here is actually the story isn't over yet, George. I mean, if Venus was a comet, the picture of solar system history is changed completely.
Sure.
And I can tell you that every person in our circle, I mean, we have dozens of people who have gotten really involved seriously in this kind of question. There isn't one of them who has stood up and said, well, I don't really think that Venus was a comet. The evidence is just overwhelming. So it seems clear to me that there's going to be no escaping a reckoning within the theoretical sciences. And in the end, it's going to be, yes, Venus was a comet. We have to get used to that because its implications are very sweeping.
We'll talk more about that. Now, Wallace Velikovsky dies in November of 1979, but you visited him, I think, before that all happened, didn't you?
That's right, just 6 months before in May. I took the family up from Washington, D.C. to his home in New Jersey, and he and his wife very graciously entertained our family. I went specifically to ask him about the biggest challenge that the astronomers had thrown down, and that was that his work defied the laws of Newton, you know, the gravitational laws, the motion laws, and so on. And it seemed to me that this was the crux of the matter, and I wanted to understand how it could be that Venus was a comet in the past, and yet today it has an almost perfectly circular orbit. And also this would have had to have happened quickly. I think the point is that Velikovsky actually threw down a gauntlet, so to speak, to the astronomers and said that if Newton was sacrosanct, then his work was a heresy. So they just chose the option that his was a heresy because that was easier and they didn't have to rewrite any of their work. Whereas I was interested in the amount of evidence that Velikovsky had put forward that Venus had been a comet, and therefore it was a question that had to be answered, and his gauntlet had to be picked up. We spoke about the possible electrical nature of gravity, and I know that Velikovsky had been corresponding and meeting with Einstein before Einstein died, and I believe that Einstein had become sufficiently interested that he was on the point of asking for certain experiments to be done or tests to be made, but unfortunately he died before any of that could be carried out.
Well, it was an incredible theory, and
yes,
I've got the book.
I think that he was more open-minded than the people who followed him, and this is a trap that scientists and everyone falls into. It becomes a fashion, and anyone who breaks away from the fashion tends to be ostracized, and that's what happened to Velikovsky.